This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
It's time for real stories from those who make our region and our country their home. Time for Making Yourself at Home, thanks to the support from the Ethnic Communities Development Fund.
Good morning, New Plymouth and beyond. This is Making Yourself at Home at 104.4 FM, Access Radio Taranaki. Your voice, your choice. I'm your host for Making Yourself at Home, Brian from the United States. And with me is a special host, Ina, Alina's mother. She's from Germany. And another German, Francesca, who is our guest for today. Welcome, everybody. How's it going?
Very good. Morena, everyone.
Yes, I think it's very good.
Awesome.
This is the first time I do something like this, and it's very exciting.
Great. And we get to finally enjoy some sunshine. So I think everybody's bright and cheerier than we've been for the past couple of weeks. All right, let's jump into it. Francesca, you're from Germany. How long have you been here in New Zealand in Taranaki?
We came pretty much 17 years ago and straight to Taranaki, and we have been living here ever since.
Cool. How did you know to come to the amazing place that Taranaki is?
That's a very good question. I had no idea that a place like Taranaki even existed. At the time when we came here, or before, we lived in Shanghai in China. And when you compare the distance from Germany, then from Shanghai to New Zealand, it's actually quite a small step. It's only 12 hours flight. And so my husband at the time worked there, and we thought, okay, what next? Will we go back to Germany and live a similar life than we had before? Or do we want to move on and experience something else with our family? And then somehow New Zealand felt quite close, and we came for a visit and also already for a job hunt, and we landed in Taranaki. We had three options: Auckland, Christchurch, and Taranaki, and we just fell in love with Taranaki straight away. And I'm so glad that we were able to come here.
And cool. What kind of work did you find over here?
My husband is an engineer, and he found work with a big company here in Taranaki.
And how long were you in Singapore for?
We were in Shanghai, for three years.
3 years, okay.
Yeah, so big contrast.
How did you find life in Shanghai?
Well, it was really interesting. Very, very different than life in Germany. Because we went with a big company, it felt like we were wrapped in cotton wool. We were expats, so we were very, very privileged. We had a beautiful house. We had all sorts of support. We had access to good schools. And we were also really privileged to have contact with people who, local people from Shanghai. And just realizing how different life can look like for humans depending on where they live and what background they have, what resources. So quite a humbling experience as well. But I loved it because I always wanted to experience how life can feel like in a place that is very different from Germany.
The effect of how you do in the genetic lottery, needless to say, has a enormous impact on people's experience in their lives.
That is so true, yes. And it's good to remember that.
Very, very much so.
And did you learn Chinese a little bit?
Yes, I learned a little bit. We had a lovely man who was driving, because driving can be quite intense in Shanghai. Because all roads were constantly blocked, we spent quite a bit of time in that car together. And so we tried to talk as well as was possible. And then I learned slowly how to bargain at the markets.
Okay.
So I could talk a little bit. I could understand quite a little bit. But yeah, I wasn't able to read or anything like that. But somehow I was able to survive there. Do shopping and yeah.
And get into contact
with
the locals.
Yes, that's, exactly.
That's important, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
To feel good.
Well, yes, absolutely.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about your life here in Taranaki now.
Well, it has changed quite a bit since we came. 17 years are a long time. We came with three not quite teenage children at the time. And then we got a fourth one in the year that we arrived. And so I was very busy in those first years with our children, with schooling, with getting to use to new systems, finding new friends. Since then, three of the older children have left home and have spread around the globe. And I've separated as well. I've moved house and in a way, have started a whole new life for myself. That was quite a journey over the last years. I am a trained teacher, but I never really worked as a teacher here in New Zealand. I was at home and caring for our children, our garden and all that. And then suddenly I needed an income. And I've always loved baking, sourdough baking, because as Germans we have bread in our genes, right, Ina?
Yes.
Bread is really, really important to us. And when we went to China, it was very obvious that I needed to bake our own bread. I continued that in New Zealand. And suddenly, I still quite don't know how, I became a sourdough baker here for our community in New Plymouth. I also brew kombucha. And now I feel like I found my space in this community. I love the networks that we have here and all the wonderful things that are happening, like the Sustainable Backyard Trail and the Garden Trails and the Art Trails. And I think we are just very, very blessed to be here together.
Yes, I think so. And everybody, maybe not everybody, but many people like your bread, as I do.
Ina, how did you come across Francesca's bread?
By Alina. You know, Germans are very special with bread, and they are known for this. They are searching everywhere they are for a good bread. And so did I, and I said, I don't like this white bread so very much. We like to have dark breads and a little bit harder, so you can feel it between your teeth. That's what Germans need. And so I was so very glad to find this bread from Francesca, and I bought it as much as I could. And the family liked it too, of course.
So where can one find your bread, Francesca?
So I bake in my little bakery at home. It's right next to my house. Ina came for a visit and saw it. So it's just an old garage that has been beautifully fitted in a bakery. That's where I bake early in the mornings, and then once all the bread is ready, I pack it into brown paper bags and drive it to our organic shop, Down to Earth. And that's my main outlet. I deliver there 4 days a week. And so they stock, Down to Earth stock, Bumblebee Bakery bread. Mm-hmm. And I just love that cooperation because it's such a beautiful shop and the owners are wonderful. And it just works really well because I use organic ingredients as well. I follow sustainable principles. So being able to offer my bread through Down to Earth to the people in New Plymouth works really, really well for me.
Oh, okay. How many breads do you do? per day?
Per day, it's probably around, I would say, 50 to 60.
Ah.
So per week, I bake about a good 200, let's say.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And did you ever try this Bavarian bread with, I don't know how it's said in English, Kümmel?
Cumin.
You try this?
I haven't, because it's quite a special taste,
yes,
and people here are probably not so used
to that. I don't like it too.
Okay, then all the better.
It's amazing. And Down to Earth is now in Oakura?
No, they are in Strandon, just opposite of Knops Line. They have this beautiful new shop that is all bright and airy and spacious. And I feel extra grateful that the bread can be there.
Cool. That's amazing. I hope myself and our listeners can get to enjoy at least a slice, if not a loaf, if not delicious bread all the time from Bumblebee? Or
Bumblebee Bakery,
Bumblebee,
yes.
Bakery. Mm. Yummy. I'm getting hungry now. you talked about the communities that you found here in the arts, and can you tell us what various communities you've gotten involved with that you appreciate being here?
Yes. I think the first one that comes to my mind is the Crop Swap movement. Crop Swap is like a movement where people on a regular basis come together in town halls or in gardens, and they share their produce. When I was about, it was probably a good 10 years ago, I was still at home with the kids, but I could see like the lemon trees here. Aren't they incredible, Ina? The lemon trees hang full, and I thought, oh my God, who will eat all those lemons? So I had this idea of like a food produce swap, and we started it. At the time, I was quite shy, and my English was still just not quite as developed as it is now, but I still had this idea, and I thought, okay, I'm going to make this happen. So I invited a few neighbors, and we had this beautiful first crop swap, and then we introduced it to other areas in town. So at the moment, there are about, I'm not entirely sure, maybe 7 different crop swap hubs where people come together, and they are all gardeners, and they bring their produce, and they're really proud of what they bring, and then everyone shares what they have. And that was a wonderful way for me to find my place, to meet like-minded people, to extend my networks, to build trust as well with people from the community. So that's the first one that comes to my mind, Crop Swap Taranaki.
Is there a Facebook group that people can find to connect with that?
Yes. So now it is Sustainable Taranaki who is took Crop Swap under their wings. And when you go to the Sustainable Taranaki page, there's also there is actually a separate website, crop swap.co.nz.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if somebody Googles Crop Swap Taranaki,
yes,
or New Plymouth,
they will find that for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And then also at the time I did an organic gardening class with Dee Turner.
Oh, yeah.
And she is just fantastic. I loved that class. That helped me to meet new people, and then that tied into the Sustainable Backyard Trail. I just think there are a few key people that we have here in Taranaki, like Dee. And then the people who work at Sustainable Taranaki, that just create a richness that is quite rare.
Mm. Dee's name has come up a few times,
yes,
during this show.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I spent a few weeks working in her garden.
Did you?
After I arrived, yeah. So when I arrived to New Plymouth, I couldn't work because I did not have a work visa yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was looking for ways to stay busy and get my hands dirty.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Did you build lots of walls?
Not walls, no. Weeding, planted some banana trees, a lot of work with comfrey and creating, you know, going through the steps of creating green manure. Did some work with the nursery and bits and bobs here and there, but no, not walls.
Because she has all these amazing structures, hasn't she?
Oh, the whole thing is just mind-blowing.
It is, yes.
Highly recommend. I'm sure she's probably on the sustainable trail.
Yeah, she will be.
Yeah, definitely worth a stop.
Yeah.
And the courses that she offers are, I'm sure, very high quality.
Yes, they are super inspiring. I always had this class on Tuesday nights. I still now remember that. And then after that, I couldn't sleep because I was always trying to figure out how to apply what I have just learned in my garden, which wasn't very big. But most of the time, I found a way to somehow squeeze it in.
Cool. Awesome. I think you were about to, before I interjected and asked you about the website for the crop swap, you're about to go into another community activity or not?
I'm not sure right now. Okay. Maybe it comes back to me later.
Okay. Ina, any questions?
Well, I know not so much about Taranaki, so if you don't know anything or just a little, so you don't have questions, I'm sorry.
When you came, Ina, is there anything that really surprised you?
Of course, the nature. I saw it in the television before. We had a lot of films about New Zealand, but to be here and see it, the trees and so on, and I liked very much the garden festival because I'm a passionate gardener at home. I have several gardens, more than I can manage, but anyhow, I like it a lot, and I like it a little bit wild too. So the nature is very impressing, and I learned a little bit about the way of living over here by Alina. Some things are a little bit astonishing to me. I come from a village, or I live in a village. And the children are very free. They can walk wherever they want and go to the neighbors. And here it's because of the school goes until 3 o'clock. It's quite different. The children are very guarded, or what? You can say this, yes. They do a lot with the parents. The parents are very engaged with sports for the children and so on. That's quite different in Germany. The children do many things by themselves. I was surprised that my grandchildren did not mourn.
And did they, not what?
Complain?
Did not complain that they should do so much with the parents, and you can take them to a trip, and they don't complain. German kids are not so fond of.
Interesting. Yeah, I remember that too, because our children were at an age where they could have just gone out and play in a cul-de-sac somewhere else, or close in the neighborhood. That was something that I knew from Germany, and I too was surprised about that children get driven a lot, like they spend a lot of time in the car, and that they can be less independent, as I saw it in Germany.
Yes, that's really a fact. On the other hand, many parents drive their, in Germany, drive their kids to school, and they are called helicopter parents because they're, yes, I don't think it's a good development to take so much care and be so anxious. I think it's quite good if you get courage, as you did, Francesca, with all what you learned about and so on, and tried to do something new and make an experience and be independent and self-conscious. That seems to be, for me, it seems to be very important. So this was a new experience for me.
It's so lucky that here in Taranaki there are so many wonderful things that families can together. Yes. I'm always impressed by how available everything is. You know, you can go to the beach and spend a wonderful time for free. Yes. And in a way, if you have transport, then it is available to anyone. All the pools, the playgrounds, all the walks up the mountain. So many things that are really close for families and that are have an easy access.
Yes.
And so families can do fantastic things together.
Yes. And they meet others very easily.
Mm.
Alina does get into contact very easily. And I watch this over here, yes, of course. Mm.
So you asked Ina what she found surprising when she came. Can you talk more about some of the surprises that you experienced and maybe how you learned the ropes here once you started to settle into life in Taranaki?
Yeah, we were the luckiest. When we came, we rented an Airbnb with people, Linda and Michael Lawley from Eco Innovation. You might know them, Ryan. They are good friends of Dee as well. So we rented their place or their batch on Kent Road. And they were just the kindest, most generous, open people. And they immediately introduced us to their friends. And I think we were only just 2 weeks there that they asked us whether we wanted to house sit their place, and that really blew me away, the trust that they brought towards us and the openness. That's something that probably Germans would be much more careful around. And just their open hearts made it so easy for us to arrive. And then we started to look around for houses. And because we didn't know the market, we had no clue. They helped us and advised us and got us in touch with a lawyer. And so they were just really like heaven sent for us and made our beginnings here in Taranaki incredibly easy.
Mm. It's nice to have local guidance, that's for sure.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then just one little thing was to see children walking barefoot to schools. That was a very unusual sight for me. And at the time, I thought, oh my God, these poor kids, they don't have shoes. Now I know that lots of children love being barefoot in summer. And in a way, it's a sign of freedom. Mm. And I hope they all have a pair of shoes at home when they need them.
Mm. Yeah, that barefoot living, it's very island vibes.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you were to give, this is usually a closing question we have on the show, is if you were to give advice to good friend who's moving somewhere new in the world, a foreign country, somewhere where they're starting afresh, what advice would you give them to figure out how to make themselves at home and in a new place?
That's a big question. Places are so different, right? And rules, social rules are different. I think languages are a wonderful thing to have. So maybe even before starting to travel, being open to learning new languages would be probably my top tip. Of course, we can always learn languages when we arrived, and that's probably another thing that I would recommend to really vamp up our courage and start talking, even if it's not perfect. As I mentioned before, I was quite shy, so I listened quite a bit first. But people respond so positively when we make an effort and try to speak their language. Yes. And that opens doors and offers opportunity for exchange and can build friendships.
Mm. Having lived overseas in a non-English speaking environment, it does go a very long way, just putting the effort in, even learning something as basic as the common greeting. People light up when they see a unfamiliar face making that effort and showing that they're at least trying to adopt the local vibe.
Mm.
Mm. With the weather changing finally, and the sun is beginning to start making a more common experience or appearance here.
Yes.
What are you looking forward to most during the summer?
One fun thing that I really enjoy is boogie boarding in the sea. So for a while we actually had the boards, but last summer we became really good at just catching the waves and do like, how is it called, body surfing or something like that?
Bodyboarding, I think.
Yes. So we go to East End and do that. And I love that, especially when we do just before sunset in the evening after a hot day. And then, the beach is so peaceful and the birds going over the beach, and it's just a wonderful, fun, free way to end the day and feel amazing when we come out of the water.
Yeah, we are quite privileged with a beautiful coastline and wonderful beaches. I live right across from Back Beach, and very special, very, very special. Not as gentle of the ocean as East End, but still fun to play in. I got in the water for the second time this season yesterday, maybe third time. But oh, it feels so good.
So you're good in sports, huh?
Sorry?
You're good in sports.
I don't know. It's just a matter of timing with those waves. And I didn't grow up with the sea, so I had a little bit of a learning curve. But now I have the occasional success, yes.
Very good.
You said your children have started to explore the world.
Yes.
How? What are they getting involved in?
My two older sons, they went to Europe for their studies. So they both studied in the Netherlands. Mm-hmm. And then my oldest son is now in Switzerland. The other one is currently in Oman. I think with the, in a way, international background, the children stay curious about the world and they see lots of opportunities that are not necessarily in New Zealand, and they jump on them. And I miss them, I'm really, really happy that they have this mental freedom to, and of course, not just mental, but generally freedom to go and follow those calls and follow their interests. Mm. So that's probably something that people who start moving away from their country of origin need to be prepared for, that when they have children, they will be children of the earth and not so much just of one single country.
Mm. It's surprising that they study in Netherlands, not in Germany, because they have to learn another language again, huh?
In lots of the studies in the Netherlands are are in English now.
Okay.
And the Dutch system is a little bit more progressive.
Okay.
In Germany, yeah, the structures are quite old, which has its benefits, but it can also be a little bit, don't know, maybe old-fashioned or not quite as modern as my sons have experienced it in the Netherlands.
Okay.
A question I really appreciate getting to ask other expats and people who have traveled around the world is, where do you think you found that inspiration to uproot yourself from your home and the familiarity and explore all of the opportunities and the big world that's out there?
Well, for us, it was this job opportunity that came up in China. And I remember that initially I wasn't impressed by the idea. I was imagining myself living in Shanghai in one of those skyscrapers together with three children on the, 20th floor and being alone. And it took me a little while to get my head around this. And then once we left Germany and I experienced that it's possible to make a home somewhere else, I got more confident, more adventurous. Mm. Once the first step out was done, it was easy. But I appreciate that it can feel quite big if you've never done it to do this first step.
So before that move to China, you were not much of a traveler?
No, not so much. So I've spent a lot of time in France as well. So I've seen, I've experienced being part of a different community, but it's a neighboring country, so it still felt very close. But because we always went to France, we didn't do much traveling as a family, so it still felt like the world was very big and unknown and also a little bit scary at the time.
Mm-hmm. I Germans are kind of known to be big travelers, so that's interesting that you came upon that later in life.
Yes.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
There's so much more about travel I'd like to talk about. Do you think, are you more interested in traveling now? Or
Yes, I definitely am. I still feel a little bit of fear inside of me when I think of, let's say, I've never been in South America. And when I think of doing it, I would muster up my courage again and inform myself. Once I've left home, then I find it incredibly exciting and invigorating, and I'm always really proud of myself that I did it, and I feel really alive and capable. But doing that first step takes energy and courage.
I can totally relate to that. I'm very sensitive to momentum, I think, to where if I've been settled, I like to stay settled, but once I start moving, it's hard to stop for sure. I got pretty burnt out from travel, having lived a very unrooted life for, we'll call it 10 years, give or take.
That is a long time.
Yeah. I'm very much interested in exploring the novelty of planting roots and staying in a place and all of the rewards that come with that, the community feel, the feeling of being at home, the common understanding of a place and the rhythms that go along with it. Yeah. And New Plymouth is a very, very spectacular place to find oneself at that point in their life.
Yeah, it really is. Mm. Yeah.
Well, we are nearing the end of our time here. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about before we close up the show?
Well, maybe one thing, another community that is really dear to my heart just came to my mind.
All right.
It is the Dippers. Have you heard of the Dippers?
I have. Yeah, I am a fan of cold water myself, so
yes,
yeah.
Yes, wonderful. So that's something, a group that I've come across maybe 3 years ago. It's a group of women who go into the ocean every morning at East End. And so we go, yeah, regardless of what the weather is presenting to us, and stay in the water for 10 minutes. And not only is it really incredible for my body, I feel like it made me so much stronger, more resilient, more determined. It also helped me to meet all these wonderful women who are pretty badass as well, as you can imagine. Some of them go at 6:30, so you need to have quite a good, strong personality. And I so enjoy having met them all and being part of that group, and always having feared cold water before. I'm also really proud of me that I became a dipper too.
How many people can how many people come to that every morning?
It's always a little bit different.
Yeah.
But when, let's say on a Sunday, then in summer there can easily be 20 at a time. Probably on a rainy, stormy winter morning it would be more. Four or five.
And at what time?
We go, there are different times. So during the week there are some who go at 6:30, some at 7, some at 8:30.
And
we I often go, I like to go at 6:30 or 7. Because then the oven is running. I just time it in a way that I throw all the bread into the oven. I close the door, I jump into the car, and then I know I need about 35, 40 minutes for the whole trip, including the dip. And then I come back, and then the bread is almost ready.
That's very nice.
And at that time, there is just a little traffic, and I appreciate that.
Yes.
8:30 is a little busier, so I like to go early. And it's just a fantastic way to start the day.
Mm. Typical German efficiency.
Yes, I might have a little bit of that.
Something you've brought with you to from your home to New Zealand. Anything else German that you keep in your life besides the fermenting with the kombucha that you mentioned?
I'm sure there are lots of things, and I probably don't realize them. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily consciously choose to keep German things in my life. With my daughter, we speak a little bit of a mix of German and English, but she is bilingual, which is wonderful. I'm really happy that we have this in our life. And apart from that, I think what I'm really grateful for, with our history as Germans, I remember that I carried some kind of guilt with me for a long time from the wars and the Holocaust and all that. And for a long time, in a way, I was ashamed that I was German and I carried that history.
Yes.
And now I came to a point where I am really grateful that I can bring something good from Germany, and that would be the bread that I provide now, and that nourishes people, that's good for them, that they enjoy. And that's a beautiful place to be in as a German in this world, that we not only remember the awful things that we did, but that we also realize that there are some good things that we carry and that we can share with others.
Mm.
That's very
beautiful.
Nice you say this. But do you hear the news of Germany and so on, and what's going on in politics?
I do that very little,
I think
generally to protect my mental well-being.
Hmm.
Yeah.
do you cook German food in the home?
I wouldn't say that it's necessarily typical German. We cook a lot with vegetables, which comes out of the garden. To be very honest, after cooking for my children for 30 years, my cooking mojo is pretty low.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful that my daughter is a pretty good cook. So once I am done in the bakery, I rather not be in the kitchen.
Totally understandable.
Yeah.
No Käsespätzle.
No Käsespätzle, no. But of course, we love pasta with sauces and
sauerkraut.
Things. Sauerkraut, yeah. We just eat what's in the garden and, yeah, what we feel like. It's not a typical German meal schedule that we follow.
Okay. Cool. Well, Ina, any closing questions for Franziska?
No, I think she's doing very well and smart, not to to bother a lot about politics. This is not a good subject just now in Europe. It's wise. I don't hear news just now for several weeks, and it's okay. Although I'm very interested in general for politics, but it's nice not to bother about it.
Kind of one interesting part about being from a culture that is very politically engaged. How that's not really a common topic of conversation in New Zealand.
Okay.
Something I've experienced is it comes up, but it's certainly not as divisive and exciting, we'll say, as it is where I'm from, the United States, where, yeah, it's quite, there's a lot of volatility involved in those types of conversations. So, yeah, that's, have you found that also?
Yeah, I don't talk a lot of about politics here. I think we can contribute in so many other ways as well to the society that we live in. And so that's probably why I choose to not engage in theoretical political topics too much, because it robs my energy and my joy. And I think I'm of more value to our community here if I keep myself healthy and contribute to the community that we have here in my own little way.
What I have another question, Franziska. How many times did you return for holiday to Europe or to Germany in all these years?
I went quite often, actually. Yeah. I was lucky that I was able to do that. My parents are in France, and so they are. My dad just died this year, and before I made the effort to go and see them.
Okay, that's why you were in France very often too, huh?
Yes, yes. So it is also a little bit of a mixed bag, because it adds to the pollution. I'm aware of that, and it also costs a lot of money. And this is somehow the compromise that I make, because of course my family is incredibly important to me. I want to be there for my parents as well. And so that's what I do. This is how I make it work.
Yes.
Yeah. Living so far from family is really a challenge. I think anybody that's spent time so far from where they've grown up and their family can relate to. But yeah, that was a beautiful comment you made about really staying pragmatic with your energy and affecting the things that you can and leaving be what you can't. So yeah, I think we'll leave that with our audience to think about, things that they can take action for and how they can impact the world around them in a positive way. Franziska, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for spending your time and sharing your story with us. I hope you enjoyed.
Yes, I loved it. It was so nice to spend time with you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And Ina,
it's a
pleasure to meet you. I believe I introduced you as Alina's mother. You are Alina's mother-in-law.
Yes, that's right.
That's right. Sorry for the previous mistake. And thank you so much for helping to host this morning. Oh. I hope you had a good time.
I don't know if I was...
Did you have fun first time in the studio?
Yes. It's very exciting, and it's a new experience.
A rising star in the radio scene.
So I'm glad you invited me to do it. Thank you for that.
My pleasure. It was great. And that's it for Making Yourself at Home at Access Radio Taranaki 104.4. FM, your voice, your choice. Everybody, take care, enjoy the sunshine, and see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.